you to turn with me in God's Word to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're in the last petition, the last official petition of the Lord's Prayer. Some things we'll be dealing with from the Lord's Prayer after this, but the last petition is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Matthew 6, verse 13. Let me ask you to open your Bibles and follow along very closely as we hear what Jesus has to say. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, sometimes when we attend a service, we wonder, what does this passage have to do with us? Lord, I would hope no one in this congregation would wonder this morning, but that we would seek your help, that we would cry out to you during our time of trials and tests and temptations. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a true story I came across some time ago about a man sent to prison for a hit-and-run accident. Actually, a fatality. He is driving along the road at night, and when this man realized he had run over someone, he floored the gas pedal and bolted away as fast as he could. The man was eventually caught, and what made the crime even worse was a medical investigation revealed that if this man had stopped right away, if he had called for help, dialed 911, the life of this person most likely would have been saved. So while in prison, a reporter interviewed this man. He asked him why he had run away. And here's his explanation. He said when he was a boy, his father had a gold pocket watch he kept wrapped in a handkerchief in the top of a chest of drawers. One day when daddy wasn't around, this young man got the watch out to look at it. He dropped the watch on the floor. He broke the watch. In response to breaking the watch, he wrapped the watch back up, put it back up in the drawer, and never said anything at all to his daddy. Of course, his daddy discovered what had happened, and he called the children together. He said, "Who broke my watch?" The boy said nothing. Daddy never found out. In other words, the boy got away with it. Prisoner went on to explain how that kind of behavior became the pattern for his life. Listen to this quote. He said, "Whenever I did something wrong, whenever I did something embarrassing, I never admitted to the wrong I did. I never owned up to the wrong I did. I always hid the truth about any wrong that I did. My choices to cover and not confess soon became my character. My choices became who I was. So when this big test came, when being honest and facing up to what I had done was literally a matter of life and death, I responded the way I've always responded. I failed the test. And now here I am in prison for life." Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ knows your life, my life, is full of tests. Big tests, little tests. And the only way we're going to get through these tests is by asking for God's help. Now, in this last petition of the Lord's Prayer, we're asking, "Lord, when I go through those tests in my life, tests that I know will come my way living in a fallen world, please deliver me from the potential evil that is in those tests. Lord, in my life, when I go through trials and tests, don't let me enter into the temptation to do evil. Lord, deliver me from evil." In verse 13, the word temptation. Let's look at that word. "Lead us not into temptation." In the Bible, the word translated from the Greek temptation may be translated four ways. It could be a test, trial, a trap, or a temptation. Test, trial, trap, temptation. In fact, the Greek word is used because all those meanings are interrelated, as we'll see. In other words, sometimes, in fact, a test or a trial can be a trap. And the difference between a test and a trial and a trap depends on how prepared you are to deal with it. Let me explain it this way. Sometimes teachers give something students are aware of called a pop test. Now, what is the purpose of a pop quiz? I know it's to bring your GPA down. But not really. When a teacher wants to find out if students are mastering material as they're going along, the teacher gives a pop quiz. I've been a teacher. I've been a student. I've looked at life from both sides now. I know a student's default setting is the setting of procrastinate. And if students realize the only time they're going to be tested is on set dates, they know about it in advance, you know what they're going to do? More often than not, they're going to cram at the last moment instead of learning it as they go. So teachers give a pop quiz. And the pop quiz reveals what's actually taken root in the soil of the student's mind. If the student's been keeping up, studying all along, the test is going to be an encouragement. But if the student's been a slacker when he should have been studying, the test becomes a trap. As we all know, sometimes the trap is to copy answers from someone else's test. Friends, life is school. It's lifelong. You're enrolled in school for life, in Christ's school of discipleship. You're learning every day, and you're either learning and nurturing in your heart what is good and beautiful and upright and pleasing to the Lord, or you are learning and nurturing seeds of deception and cowardice and lust and evil. And when a test comes along, a test reveals who you really are. So here in this final petition, the Lord's Prayer, we're asking, Heavenly Father, in every test, every trial, I know there's potential for me to fall into a trap the evil one has set for me. So Lord, when I go through tests, when I go through trials, deliver me from the evil set like a trap in my path. Don't let me, Lord, get sucked into this vortex of evil. Don't let me go there. I want you to follow with me now as the Bible reveals three ways you and I can be prepared for and by God's grace delivered from evil when we're tempted, when we go through trials. The first way to prepare is this. In your life, expect trials. In your life, expect tests. Now, you know, of all people, Christians should not be surprised by tests and trials. Of course, there are some snake oil salesmen disguised as preachers nowadays that try to market Christianity as the equivalent of winning an all-expense-paid trip to the Bahamas from Wheel of Fortune, even as pulpit purveyors of pop psychology and positive thinking present the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. That's the master key for living your best life now. Friends, any pop psychology presentation of the Christian life as being something without trials and tests, it's a surefire setup for being, first of all, shocked because a test comes, and sooner or later disappointed and bitter because you had to go through it. Friends, if you're a Christian this morning, you should never be surprised, never stunned, never shocked by trials and tests. As a matter of fact, this prayer petition should condition us to see these things as an expected part of our living out the Christian life in this world, which is, in the words of Am I a Soldier of the Cross, is not a friend of grace to lead us on to God. Now, what is a trial? What is a test? Let me give you a brief definition. What is a trial? What is a test? Here's what it is. A trial, a test, is any circumstance in your life, any circumstance that draws out what is in you. It's any circumstance you go through that draws out what is in you. Think of yourself, I know this isn't too flattering, but think of yourself as a tea bag. Think of some circumstance in your life as hot water, And that hot water brings out what's in the tea bag. Trials bring out what is in you. Now, sometimes we call these trials, these tests, irritations. You know, things like, why is my work making such unreasonable demands? And why am I working with this obnoxious person? Why is my spouse going through this season of life that's making them so hard to live with? And just when did my children become such a royal pain in the neck? Why am I struggling to pay bills this month? And when did my sports team I'm part of become a source of so much drama and so much emotion? You know, irritations, right? Wrong. The Lord's Prayer wants us to understand what you are experiencing in your tests and your trials are opportunities. Opportunities to respond to your situation in life with love and compassion and courage. Opportunities to do that instead of responding by either being a doormat or a jerk. James, the half-brother of Jesus, puts it this way in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 of James. He said, and I quote, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Friends, trials and tests are designed by God to grow your faith. Remember that. Trials and tests are designed by God to grow your faith. Now, the plot thickens. Because sometimes these tests, these trials become really big. Ephesians 6, Paul says to put on the full armor of God, to be alert to the devil's schemes, because, well, he says, when, not if, but when, the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground. Friends, for you and me, the day of evil is every day. It's any day you face a big test, a big trial. Expect difficult days. Hear that again. Expect difficult days. And by all means, realize, sooner or later, and both sooner and later, you're going to come face to face with some big moral dilemma. You've probably already had that happen. Brian Chappell tells about a seminary student working as a quality inspector for a company that made syringes. One day, upper management makes a cost-effective decision, and they ask this young man to sign off on a batch of defective syringes. And if he doesn't, if he refuses, he loses his job and his income. He loses his opportunity to pay his way through seminary. Just sign. They're okay. Just sign. Friends, that's a big trial. And in that trial is a big temptation to lie on the one hand, or lose a job which puts food on the table and pays for a seminary education. Friends, as sure as you are living and breathing right now, you will have trying days, difficult days, days of testing your character. They will landfall into your life with all the force of a Category 5 hurricane. Now you may be asking, why? See, we're so tested. We're so used to the easy life, the life of Riley. We want to ask the question, why? Why this trial? Why this test? Why this temptation? Those are three good questions. Let me give you an answer. Why not? Did you really think that being a good Christian person was somehow going to immunize you against trials and tests and temptations? Friends, please remember this. You are a Christian. And as a Christian, you follow in the sandaled footsteps of the best man who ever walked on this planet. There was never a better man, a more perfect man than Jesus. What did Jesus get? I'll tell you what he got. He got tempted. He was subjected to terrible trials. He was rejected. He was mocked. He was killed. Friends, Jesus' life was a parade of trials from beginning to end. But then out of Jesus' death comes resurrection, eternal life. The analogies in the Bible are plentiful. The seed goes into the ground and dies, and the seed sprouts and produces fruit, or is ground up and put into the fire, and then it comes out gold. Coal is put under pressure. It turns into a diamond. You see, when, not if, but when, tests and trials come, and they will, if you respond with honesty and compassion and faithfulness to the Lord, those tests will make you into a diamond. But if you give in to the temptation that's in those tests and trials, you won't be a hard diamond. You'll be crushed. Friends, first thing we understand, expect trials and tests and temptation. Second two points are briefer but very important. Secondly, in your life, not only expect trials and tests and temptations, but in your life, know who your enemy is. You see, trials are not your enemy. Tests are not your enemy. It says, deliver us from evil. Notice that. Some translations has, deliver us from the evil one. Both are true. The evil one is your enemy. Whenever you encounter trials and tests in life, you're going to be tempted by the evil one to respond in a wrong way. And if you're sucked into this evil tempting you, you're just going to find yourself pulled into deeper and deeper trouble. Go back to that man in prison. The boy had an opportunity right off the bat when he was young to respond rightly and tell the truth to his daddy. But he said nothing. Actually, through his silence, what he did was he gave into the temptation to lie in order to stay out of trouble. Then the boy became a man, and the pattern of the man's life was a pattern of wrongdoing, deception, and evasion of responsibility. He gave in to evil. That was the way his life went. Friends, your enemy, the evil one, the devil. Old country preacher once said, take D away from devil and you got evil. Your enemy wants to co-opt every trial you go through and turn every trial and every test into a temptation and a trap. You know, the singer Johnny Cash, before he died, a few years before he died, became a Christian, a very outspoken Christian. But in his younger days, Johnny Cash once toured with a young lady who was not his wife. That tour was for Johnny Cash a test of his faithfulness to his wife. So how did Johnny Cash do on that test? Well, here's his testimony. Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. And it burns, burns, burns. Friends, when you go through a time of testing, in that test there will be a temptation. A temptation to lie when telling the truth is how God wants you to respond. A temptation to steal when God tells you to keep your hands off that object. A temptation to covet when God wants you to be content. A temptation to be jealous and bitter and envious toward people that have blessings that you don't have. God wants you to rejoice in others' blessings. Not be all jealous and green-eyed about it. By the way, did you know the devil's only got three temptations in his bag of tricks? Do you know that? That's it. Pretty simple, isn't it? Three temptations. It's the same three temptations he used with great success against Adam and Eve. It's the same three temptations he used with no success against Jesus. See, when you're in the midst of a trial, a test, the devil will tempt you with three things: pleasure, money, and self-promotion. Pleasure, money, and self-promotion. Or you could put it this way: devil's going to tempt you to feel good, fill your pocketbook, and feed your ego. Those are temptations: to feel good, to fill your pocketbook, to feed your ego. And I hope, I pray that knowing who the enemy is will give you an internal smoke alarm. You'll sense from Scripture how the enemy operates. And perhaps, Lord willing, you will not fall into that burning ring of fire. Third way that we can be prepared and prevail over the evil that comes in our testings and trials is this. Third, in your life, reframe those tests. In your life, reframe those trials. In other words, reframing is look at this from a different angle. You need to view your trials, your tests, your temptations through the lens of who you are in Christ. I want you to know this morning, a biblical identity, hear this, a biblical identity is the best defense against temptation. You can try self-control, you can try this, but the best defense is a biblical identity. If you're a Christian, who are you? You are right now, even in your time of trial and testing, you are a dearly loved child of your Heavenly Father. You are a dearly loved, blood-bought, adopted child of God. And when you look at your trial through the lens of what God has done for you in the life and death of Jesus Christ, you know what? Everything changes. Every trial, every test becomes not a hassle, but another opportunity for you to demonstrate to a watching world, Lord, you've given me this opportunity to show people when I'm in this trial how a child of God speaks and acts and lives, especially when they're going through difficult times. The best testimonies I've ever experienced as a pastor have been from faithful people who are going through difficult times, and it has not shaken their faith one bit. Because they are secure in who they are. They know who they are. They know who their God is. Friends, even when temptation's ring of fire is burning, if you will remember who you are, it'll be a great help. You know, Carol and I had the opportunity this summer to visit Asheville and surrounding areas, North Carolina. Beautiful area. Near Asheville, there's this church Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, and the Graham family were members of. We attended the church. It's Montreat Presbyterian Church. Billy Graham actually got married in that church. Well, after his wife, Ruth, passed away, and after the what we call down here the funeral eating time, the Graham family began to tell stories about their mom. One story came from a few months before the funeral when the children were all together one Christmas and with Daddy Billy and Mama Ruth, as they called them. Seems that Daddy Billy Graham, started going on about his health problems, complaining, whining, and why me-ing about all his declining health and aches and pains and whatever. Finally, his wife, Ruth, turned to him, and this is what he said, and I'm quoting, "Billy, would you please shut up and die like a Christian?" You know, perhaps that's the point of this petition. You're going to have aches and pains and trials and tests. Face it like a Christian. Expect trials and tests. Remember that every trial and test that you encounter, the devil is there to trap you with temptation. And then remember who you are. You're a child of God whose adoption was secured for you in Jesus Christ. Jesus was tried. Jesus was tempted. Jesus passed the test of temptation with flying colors for you. Jesus passes the test. You get the credit. You get the 4-point average. And Jesus even now enables you by His grace to find deliverance when you're being tried and tested and tempted. And it begins right here, in your helplessness, in your dependence. Cry out, Lord, do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, help us not to be ambushed by trials and tests and temptation. Because we know that as we go through difficult times, there's going to be a temptation to do evil. Because that's what the devil wants us to do. Lord, help us to remember who we are. We are blood-bought children of God. Our adoption is secured by Jesus who lived and died for us and who gives us his righteousness. And now, through his Holy Spirit, through his word, he enables us to find deliverance against temptation. Lord, help us every day, many days, to cry out, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Why are we doing that now? Why are we waiting till January? Is there really a need to do that? What time is it? How is it going to impact our current ministries here at the church? Or even, how can I use the gifts that God has given me to be part of that additional worship service and to help support the ministries here at the church? So there's a lot of information that is more than we can provide this morning. The main point is to let you know that there will be an additional Sunday morning worship service beginning in January of 2015. But the session knows that you'll have questions and you'll want more information. So this Wednesday night, following our Wednesday evening meal, the usual study time is going to be devoted for an overview or presentation from the session about the specifics of how that would work, and an opportunity for you to come with all your questions to get those answered. And I don't know about you, but I'm very excited to be here and to see how the Lord has grown Lakeland over the years, how it's used it in this community. This is just one more step, one more chapter in a way that the Lord can use what we have here. And I hope that all of you will come Wednesday with your questions and get them answered and support a new worship opportunity here at Lakeland in January. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Doug. I'm sure you'll have questions about different things regarding having two services on Sunday. By all means, bring your questions Wednesday night. We welcome your questions. We want to be totally transparent with you about what we're up to and why we're up to it. And if you want to sign up for a meal, you can do that. You can do that online or call the church office and join us for our fellowship meal at 5 o'clock and our 5:15. And then at 6:15, we'll meet in here for a time of prayer, a more detailed presentation. And then we will open up the floor for whatever questions you have about us going to two services. So we welcome that opportunity. Thank you for being here, and let us close this morning with prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, indeed, you have been pleased by your sovereign grace and mercy to bless this church. And Lord, we know that you desire for your church to grow, not just grow bigger, but also grow deeper, grow more committed. And Lord, we thank you for placing before us an opportunity. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll continue to give us wisdom. Lord, I thank you for each member, each visitor of this church. I pray, God, that you would encourage them, that you would encourage them to think through this, to ask questions, and encourage them to be here. And then, most of all, encourage them to participate as we expand the ministry of this church. Lord, these are exciting times for our church. And I pray, God, that we would catch on to that excitement, because you are a God who has promised great things and fruitfulness when your word is ministered as it is here. So, Lord, we pray you'll bless us now and be with us this day as we seek to honor you in all that we do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.